Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield. As you are listening to this podcast episode, I'm somewhere in the backwoods of Vermont competing in the 60-hour winter sufferfest called the Spartan Agoge. You can check that out at bengreenfieldfitness.com/agoge. That's A-G-O-G-E. Considering it is supposed to be about negative 10 degrees where I'm competing, I may or may not survive this ordeal, and I'm probably frostbitten right now. So, as is likely obvious to you, you aren't going to get the normal weekly Q&A that I release on Wednesdays with my podcast sidekick, Rachel. But I do have a pretty fun episode for you today. I'm going to keep it a mystery.
Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You gotta check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses. And keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks. In this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Show.
Imagine a stadium where instead of a football field, it's a hologram. And that is a Call of Duty field or something. And you can watch people throwing grenades and rockets and helicopters. And it's right there and it's live. Imagine instead of going to the movies, you can go to a stadium and watch something like that.
It's a huge industry. It's estimated to grow over $500 million per year within the next 2 years. And something that I really want people to realize is that it needs to take off.
He's an expert in human performance and nutrition. Voted America's top personal trainer and one of the globe's most influential people in health and fitness. His show provides you with everything you need to optimize physical and mental performance. He is Ben Greenfield.
Power. Speed. Mobility. Balance. Whatever it is for you, that's the natural movement. Get out there. When you look at all the studies done, studies that have shown the greatest efficacy.
All the information you need in one place, right here, right now, on the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and I want you to stop for a moment and imagine a stadium full of screaming fans, and then zoom in on the contestants, and they're just sweating, and their teeth are gritting from the intensity of the competition. So what do you think this could be? Boxing, or MMA, or basketball, or tennis, or maybe American Ninja Warrior? Well, it's actually electronic sports, also known as esports, and the athletes I'm referring to are typically like headset wearing, energy drink guzzling, smart drug popping gamers. And frankly, this sport is booming. The tournaments that they have for esports draw crowds that literally rival the biggest traditional sporting events. Their live streams online usually get 100,000 plus viewers. Companies like Coke and Nissan and Red Bull sponsor the tournaments. Last year, over 205 million people watched or played esports. And if you compare this to like the World Series of Poker or the Super Bowl, basically, the League of Legends Championship, which is a championship in esports, where, and my guest expert today is going to be able to talk to this a little bit more intelligently, where they play League of Legends against each other. Apparently, that sold out the Staples Center when they had it there. And then when they had it a year later in Seoul, Korea, it sold out their 40,000 seat World Cup stadium and had an online audience of 27 million people. And these things pay out, too. We're talking about millions of dollars in prize money for winning these type of competitions. So moms, if you're listening in, you may want to actually encourage your kids to keep playing video games if you want them to be able to take care of you in retirement. Anyways, though, the reason I'm talking about all this and the reason that I got an expert in this particular field of esports on the show today is because it's not just like online fun and gaming and money. There are some pretty significant health risks and fitness implications associated with this sport. There's drugs, there's drug testing, there is the physiological effects of having your senses constantly bombarded with blue light and glaring screens and Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. And so in today's episode, we're not just going to talk about electronic sports and what they are, but we're going to talk about drugs, drug doping, the health effects of this stuff. And my guest today is named Zach Long. Zach owns NewSups. NewSups is basically like a nootropic and smart drug company. And he has a wide range of specialties. He actually knows quite a bit. I've emailed Zach back and forth quite a bit. And he started his career in the U.S. Army, and then he moved on to business. But what he studies in particular is performance-enhancing drugs in gaming and nootropics and smart drugs in general. And his company, Nusups, even does things like sponsor gamers who are looking to go pro. So he's pretty involved with this industry. And Zach, I wanna welcome you for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Ben. I'm glad to be here.
Sweet. So dude, I'm just curious, like, how'd you get involved in this mysterious world of electronic sports?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Esports found me in the sense of getting involved. I didn't go out of my way and try to play Call of Duty professionally or anything like that. But through my business adventures with nootropics and smart drugs, I realized that the most probably profitable sector of people would be the gamers, in the sense of they're going to see the most out of this. And I found that because if you look into it, in the history of things, smart drugs were being taken by Olympic athletes way before esports even came around. In early 90s, there's been a history of taking different nootropics and smart drugs for competition sports in the Olympics, like cross-country skiing or the different marathon events that require a lot of endurance. And so that kind of, you know, I started looking into that. And then I realized that gamers, they don't have anything like this other than Red Bull and Monster.
Yeah.
And I reached out. I started talking to a few. I gave them some samples, and they all swore up and down by it. And so I started really getting into it, and I dived down in. And it's really an interesting kind of industry now because it's growing so big. It's got such an influence on our society in a way that most people can't even fathom. Because if you think about the age spectrum of these professional athletes and what it does to them and the health risk associated with it, it really is going to change the way that our society looks at sports. And that's why something – I don't know if you ever saw the movie Gamer. You ever see that with
– No.
Oh, it's about this guy who's in prison. And it's in the future, and what the inmates can do is they can play a video game. Well, they don't play the video game. A gamer plays the game, and they are the character of the game. And they, like, it's like Call of Duty. So it's like prison inmates shooting each other, and if they win, they get out. But it's just a futuristic look of how gaming could be in the future. And when people think of, you know, 2050, they don't think of watching the Super Bowl like we just watched recently. They think of something different. They think of a futuristic sport, and that's kind of where esports is going. And that's why it's so interesting to kind of look into and study and be a part of.
That's crazy. So these athletes, like, what are they like? I mean, are they, because honestly, dude, like, my experience with esports is I used to play World of Warcraft, right? When World of Warcraft first became multiplayer online, I would be on there for like 2 or 3 hours a day, but nobody was paying out. There was no money involved. There weren't people watching this thing on YouTube. But when we talk about these athletes, what kind of people are they? I mean, are these like fit people? Are they all just like, you know, fat with neck beards in their mom's basement? Or like what kind of athletes are we talking about?
You know, it's funny that you would say that, especially coming from a World of Warcraft background. You know, it really depends. What I've found is there's different caliber of athletes. There's the 16-year-old who streams on Twitch and has a Twitter account set up, and, you know, they're just a teenager. They're trying to go pro, but they can play on online tournaments because that's the way that it's set up. So they could be considered a professional athlete if they're winning tournaments with a team of other, say, high schoolers. But then there's a more serious athlete, which is ones that are, say, on professional teams like Cloud9. Now, when you have a serious team like this that plays in championships, like you talked about the League of Legends championship that had 27 million viewers, when you have a caliber of athlete like that, they're playing probably 8 to 12 hours a day. They're going through their considered it training, just like how a pro athlete, a basketball athlete, would spend so much time in the court. But they probably log more time because there's not that wear and tear on the body, you know, because you can only play so much basketball before you're like, I got to go rest.
What kind of wear and tear is going on in the body? Like, are there tests where they've looked at things like, well, for example, like race car drivers, right? They're in a sedentary position somewhat, but their cardiovascular fitness and also the cardiovascular implications of driving a race car, it's through the roof. The combination of adrenaline and epinephrine and heat and, you know, shifting the car, shifting your body, their heart rates will be in excess of 150 plus beats per minute during, you know, a multi-hour event. For these gamers, has anybody ever actually studied like what's going on physiologically as far as how hard their heart is beating or how high their core temp is going or anything like that?
Well, actually, yeah. And that's an interesting thing because no, it's not going to be like race car driving where you're going to be studying it with multiple different scientists from different angles of the G force and things like that, because that's going to have some serious immediate health risks to it. But the studies that have been sponsored, there was one series of studies, and it was actually by the League of Legends creators. They did a series of studies on the negativity of the community, because I'm sure you're aware, if you played World of Warcraft or if you ever have children and you kind of watch them or hear them while they're yelling at their Xbox, it's not a nice, you know, it's not a nice environment. You're not going to talk about your feelings with your buddies on there. You're going to defend your mother.
Right. Right. So in terms of what we're seeing with health risks associated with gaming, I would imagine that the health risks probably, I'm just hazarding a guess here, exceed the actual health benefits of sitting around playing video games for ungodly periods of time trying to win money.
Absolutely.
But what do you see as far as the health risks? Like what's going on? Because I've heard about like kids in China dying and stuff like that from like playing video games for days in a row. But what do you see? You know, I would imagine that's an anomaly. But what kind of things are happening in these quote unquote athletes when it comes to their health or their physiology?
There's a lot. Honestly, man, there's so much that it's kind of ridiculous. Once you look into it, you're like, really? Like, wow. Like you said, the Chinese kid, he was a 24-year-old gamer. He died in an internet cafe of all places too, like not in a basement or anything like that. That was playing WoW for 19 hours straight.
Holy cow.
Then there was a Taiwanese teen who also died after playing.
And how did they die? Did they know how that actually happened?
Well, the Taiwanese teen, he died from cardiac arrest from 40 hours straight. The 24-year-old gamer, I'm not sure how he died from China, but really there's a whole tier of health risks. You have the simple things that you could think of, like the eye strain, the headaches, the wrist injuries that you're going to get from having a mouse under your hand all day, the blisters on your fingers, believe it or not. Then there's the back problems. But then you get into the more serious problems like cardiovascular issues because they're sitting down all day. Then you get into things like the social impact. For example, when you mention the basement dweller with the neckbeard, there's a real social impact that's coming from people that are spending hours a day not going out and playing video games. And there's been studies showing that depression has been linked to different types of internet gaming, different types of gaming addictions. And even according to the American Psychiatric Association, the APA, the internet gaming disorder falls under a substance-related and addictive disorder, personality disorder. And so essentially you're seeing that these are serious things coming from just playing a video game all day. And a lot of kids do, and they don't see that it sets up a kind of a chain of events for later down their life.
Do you personally do a lot of gaming?
Well, you know, I have done some gaming. Yeah. When I was in high school, I did a lot of gaming. Yes. I played a very serious MMORPG just like you did.
Yeah. And for you, have you looked into, for example, like when we go above and beyond just like sedentary amount of time spent sitting there playing, have you looked into like blue light and the effects on circadian rhythm with long amounts of time spent gaming or like Wi-Fi or Bluetooth radiation, either of those?
Well, I haven't looked into the circadian rhythm in terms of how to mitigate it, but I have noticed it myself on me, especially, I mean, it's kind of common sense, but when you're just spending so much time on that, everything gets screwed up and, you know, it's difficult to kind of get back on that. As for the radiation through Wi-Fi, I have not heard of that before. And that's something that's really interesting. Tell me more about it.
Well, that'd be one of my main concerns would be, you know, A, they've done studies on like night shift workers, as well as, you know, this whole like e-reader syndrome at night, or what they call iPad insomnia, where exposure to blue light for long periods of time actually decreases your ability to produce melatonin. And so it affects your ability to engage in deep sleep cycles. And there's this concept of like a circadian rhythm phase shift, right? Where if you are in a state of constant summer or constant sunlight exposure, it shifts your sleep time forward. But if your wake time isn't also adjusted, then what happens is your whole circadian rhythm gets shifted forward and you short yourself on sleep.
Right.
The other kind of interesting thing is that your body achieves its primary amount of cooling and nervous system repair and memory formation between about 2 and 6 a.m. And if you haven't been asleep for about 3 or 4 hours by 2 a.m., that doesn't actually happen. And so if the blue light exposure is keeping you up to like 11 a.m. or midnight or something like that, you've only been asleep like 2 hours before you reach that 2 a.m. cycle. And so your body actually doesn't recover quite as quickly from a nervous system standpoint. So you see neuromuscular right. deficits, and you see like a drop in heart rate variability, which is like the strength of the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system. All sorts of interesting things. And then the Wi-Fi stuff is, you know, we've talked about this a little bit on this podcast before with both Wi-Fi and to a lesser known extent, Bluetooth. Like they've done studies on Bluetooth that have shown that long exposure to Bluetooth, especially near the head, which I know a lot of these gamers are wearing headsets, it can cause like blood-brain barrier leakage in the studies that they've done in rodents.
Really?
Yeah. And then in Wi-Fi, they've shown everything from like brain fog to aggravation of attention deficit disorder to, you know, like the N equals one plant studies that they've done where plants die when they put, you know, a control plant away from a Wi-Fi router and regular plant next to a Wi-Fi router. I mean, it's one of the reasons that even though I'm like hyper connected in my house, it's all through metal shielded Ethernet cable. So like everything I do is typically, you know, through a cable, or like on my phone, I use AirTube, like an AirTube headset rather than a Bluetooth headset. So yeah, there's a lot of considerations. But one thing I know that you really specialize in, Zach, is this whole idea of smart drugs and supplements and what would be considered PEDs or performance enhancing drugs in esports. What are players kind of turning to, you know, if they're not using Monster or Red Bull, what are the more popular drugs that they're using that people are more aware of? I want to ask you, too, about the stuff that kind of flies under the radar that you found to be efficacious in these kind of situations. But first, what are some of the more popular ones that folks are using?
Well, of course, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind that most people are aware of is Adderall. And a lot of them are taking Adderall. And it's becoming a big thing. That's kind of actually what started the whole drug testing policy with the ESL, which is the Electronic Sports League. But it was because of a very popular gamer coming out saying that the whole team took Adderall. So there's Adderall. Then there's the dietary supplements like the caffeine and the different pre-workouts that some people would even take just to give them focus. And then further down the rabbit hole, there's the whole wide range of nootropics. Things that I would offer, things that you would find on the professional level higher than the people that are just taking, you know, the dietary supplements. And then above that, even further down, is supplements that are even new to me, things that I have to go start looking up and reviewing and seeing that they're brand new, things that haven't been tested. And it is dangerous. There's a lot of things that come from it. You know, you were talking about the health risks, and we didn't even really touch on the ones associated with the drug abuse.
Yeah, that's what I want to get into. And like one of the reasons I want to get into this, because like I've heard about the use of Adderall. Ritalin, I know, is another big one. You know, Adderall, also known as modafinil. There's one called, are you familiar with, I think it's called Vivance? It's V-Y-V-A-N-C-E. I don't even know how it's pronounced, but I've heard about that one being used like in esports for boosting concentration or improving reaction time or preventing fatigue. Is that one you're familiar with?
No. And see, that's what I'm talking about when I say new, because you can take something, I believe you said modafinil.
Yeah, modafinil.
Potato. Anyways. Okay.
What did you call it? Modafinil?
Yeah. And okay. You could take something like that, do a slight chemical process to it, make it a pro drug, and now it's adrenaline, and that's actually the sample that I sent you. And so it's just a pro drug of that. So
that adrafinilin that you sent me that I tried, that's basically a version of modafinil?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Now, my experience with that, and by the way, you know, fair warning to the listener, you know, when Zach sent it to me, he was like, this stuff is metabolized by the liver. Be careful with it. But you sent it to me because I, you know, I'm constantly kind of wanting to try out some of these things, and I combine it with something called NuPep. And I want to ask you about that too. But, you know, one of the things you told me was it's metabolized by the liver, Ben. Don't use too much of this. Don't use it like too often, multiple days in a row. And when I used it, I found, for me, I got about 12 solid hours worth of really focused productivity. And then I crashed. I know some people will get up to like 24 hours with stuff like, you know, modafinil or modafinil derivatives, but it's interesting stuff. As far as these drugs actually go, what are the main things, first of all, that you're trying to achieve when you take a stimulant like this that would benefit like esports or productivity at work? Like what are the primary effects?
Well, but before I say that, you called it a stimulant. Now, technically it is a type of stimulant, although I don't want people to consider it like Adderall or Ritalin because it's completely different the way it works in the body. And that's an important aspect that people have to look at, because that affects the, you know, what's going on the gamer's side. But people would take these for a whole wide range of things. Students take them if they're trying to write a paper and they want a creativity paper and they need that boost, or if they're trying to make music and they're in college in a band or something, they'll take it for that because they can unlock parts of their brain that they didn't really have access to before, and it just allows them to use it. And then they kind of, after a prolonged period, I find that it allows you to recognize different aspects of your brain and different parts of yourself in a personality spectrum, and you can unlock that through different nootropics. Then academic professionals will take it in terms of research, in terms of data processing. They'll take it and just to crunch numbers for a prolonged period of time. Kind of think of if you got a real grind of an office job, and I don't like to talk about it, but when I needed to support my family a little bit, I had to go work a job doing tech support, and I was just answering phones all day, and I would just, adrafinilin was my go-to supplement right there, because the day would fly by. I would be able to sustain a happy level of energy throughout the day. But then on the other spectrum, you have the Olympic athletes that are taking it because they're in triathlons. So really it affects everyone. Even further down the line, you have elderly patients that are battling Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia in different parts of the world, and doctors will prescribe these nootropics to help fight these diseases.
Yeah, we've talked about those on the show, like lion's mane and Bacopa and things like that. Now, for esports, if you're talking about something that, you know, you mentioned there's kind of a difference between a stimulant and something that would allow you to remain like calm under pressure, are you seeing both the use of stuff that blocks the effects of adrenaline, you know, like, I guess, would that be like Valium or something like that, combined with the use of things that like Adderall?
No, I don't think any esports players are taking Valium because that's definitely going to dull their senses. But a better one would be, say, L-theanine. That's going to reduce the amount of anxiety they're going to feel. It's going to help promote a zen-like feeling. And yeah, they'll take that and they'll stack it. And a stack means just to combine it, and they'll do it with something else like NuPept and adrafinilin, just like how you took those two. They'll throw in a few more. And that's actually one of the services that I offer when I sponsor a team or a player, is I help them build a custom stack that's going to be the most effective combination of nootropics for them while they're playing. So, you know, I'll sit down and work with them, and if they find that they have problems with focus, or they can't play for too long, or if they find that, you know, their reaction time just isn't fast enough. These are things that you know, and you try to build a stack around that.
So what would be the implications for you being in an industry where you're actually providing athletes with this stuff when it comes to drug testing? Like, is any of this stuff drug testing? Like, when somebody wins, are they having to go take a pee? Or are they getting blood tested? Like, how's that actually work?
Well, you know, that's where these different tiers come in. Like I said, there's the teenagers that are playing online tournaments. Then there's the pro people that are playing around the world. And when it comes to drug testing, the only people that are getting drug tested are the ones playing in the stadiums, because that's the only ones that can be drug tested. How is a team that's spread across the country, one's in New York, one's in Florida, Washington, and California, a four-man team all playing on an online game through, you know, Xbox Live or something, how are they going to get drug tested? They can't. So the only people that really get drug tested are the top tier players, which leaves a whole range of people that could potentially be at risk for different, you know, problems when they're not using safe things. And that's why it's really important that I stress to the people that I sponsor and different people that I talk to, do not abuse things that you shouldn't be using, such as Adderall and Ritalin and massive amounts of caffeine. You know, don't be staying up for 25 hours and putting yourself at risk to have cardiac arrest because all these things.
Well, yeah, the other thing is you're going to get, if you do want to take it to the next level, you're going to get dependent on things to enhance your gaming that might be illegal once you do get to the next level. And when you get to that next level, are we talking about the same kind of stuff that would be illegal in terms of like the World Anti-Doping Association, which
exactly.
would just be like everything, you know, marijuana and modafinil or Adderall, like all that stuff. So is it pretty much very similar exactly. to the World Anti-Doping Association list?
Exactly. And that's actually what they did is the ESL, which is, you know, it's the Electronic Sports League. They just adopted the policies of the WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency's drug policy. So they just copy and pasted their list over and said, we ban all this. The only thing they changed, which a lot of people would think of right away when you think of drug testing in video games, is marijuana. They said that they're not really going to care if marijuana comes up, but they are going to test for all the others, including things like steroids, including things like inhalers that people might use. It's a whole wide range of random things. But in terms of nootropics and smart drugs, there's only one that they ban, and that's modafinilin. And here's really? The kicker is, like I said, the one I sent you, adrafinilin, is a pro drug, which is essentially the same thing. It just is switched slightly over. So it's a different chemical and changes differently in your digestive tract to go over to modafinilin. Well, that is not banned. So you can see that there's loopholes here, and there's a lot of risk that comes into play when people don't take safety measures into hand and don't play responsibly.
Yeah. So in terms of the smart drug stacks or the nootropic stacks that you recommend, I want to delve into, you know, now we've gotten some of the health risks and the legal implications aside, let's have some fun now and talk mm-hmm. about some of the things that you have found to be most efficacious. I want to start, actually, if you're game, pun intended, to talk about what you sent me. You sent me Nupept and the adrafinil that you've been talking about, like the modafinil derivative. What are those and how do they work and why did you send me both those?
Well, I sent you those two because they're personal favorites of mine. The adrafinil, as you call it, adrafinilin, as I call it, is quite a interesting chemical. That's the one that you called a stimulant, although it is not a stimulant. It is considered a type of stimulant because it keeps you awake and alert. But if you look at the actual methods that a stimulant works through in your body, it doesn't do that. It doesn't raise your cardiovascular levels. It doesn't increase your blood pressure. It doesn't do anything that would affect your body temperature. It doesn't make you, you know, twitchy or kind of, you know, cracked out like different caffeine or stimulants would. What it does is it prohibits your body's ability to release the hormone that makes you feel tired. So it's essentially saying,
which hormone is that? Do you know?
I'd have to look it up. It's a long.
It's like adrenaline or norepinephrine or something like that? Or?
No, it's not a major hormone either that you would think of. It's a very obscure one and it was just recently discovered, you know, within the last 30 years, and that's where this came into play. The drug itself was designed for people that have serious sleeping disorders and, you know, narcolepsy, things like that. And then in the early 90s, Silicon Valley executives kind of picked it up because they're like, whoa, this is a big deal. And that's the movie Limitless with Bradley Cooper. That was based off of modafinilin. So it's kind of the beginning thing that started the whole smart drug, quote unquote. But then there's Nupept. And Nupept is a derivative of a very basic staple in the nootropic class, and it's a rice tam. Now, NuPept.
A rice like piracetam or aniracetam?
Exactly. Now, NuPept is piracetam, essentially, although it's 1,000 times more potent. And if you look at the rice tam family, really? Yeah, if you look at them, the very first one, piracetam, the one that was created way back in the 60s, they use that as the rating scale for other nootropics in terms of cognitive boost. And that's got a level of 1. And then if you go to, say, aniracetam, you'll see it's got somewhere around 10 times more potent. Oxyricetam would be like 800 times more potent. And when I say more potent, I don't necessarily mean think of instead of one coffee, you're having two espressos. I mean more potent in the sense of the cognitive boost and effects you'll see. For example, further down the ricetam family line, there's chloricetam, which is given to people that have eye disorders. And that's in European countries. In America, they're not prescribed. So people would take them if they want to have something with their vision boosted. One of the major effects is people say that they have high definition vision. And so.
And that's with NuPept?
No, that was with chloricetam. NuPept, on the other hand, NuPept helps the neuroplasticity of your brain and the way that your synapses work. Essentially, you have acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter that is the basis for creating and recalling memories. And NuPept helps with the formation of acetylcholine. And a metaphor I like to use is think of going from your house to another person's house with a letter. And you're going to get in your car and drive down one block. Now, say you have one letter and you're in that car going down that one block. When you take NuPept, that turns that one block into three different roads. And now you have six cars and you have six letters. So you just potentially, you know, cubed your output of letters that you can do in the same amount of time. And that's the metaphor I like to use, a little complex, but that's how your synapses and the data transfer through the chemical processes that go on work. And NuPept, just essentially in layman terms, it helps you learn, it helps you create memories, it helps you focus, and it kind of gets rid of any residual brain fog or slime that's going on in your brain, and you just kind of wake up.
And so you combine that with this modafinil, and for me, it seemed to last about 12 hours. And that's a pretty common stack that you'll recommend to like a gamer or somebody wanting to like learn or enhance memory.
Well, yeah, that would be a basic one for a gamer or say someone doing a college paper or a professional. I would recommend something a little bit more in depth, to be honest. You would take NuPept, but NuPept, like I said, works by increasing your acetylcholine levels. Well, that requires that you have choline. Well, in order to have that, you must have a lot of liver in your diet, which most people don't eat any liver. So you would have to have a choline supplement, such as alpha.
Is that like phosphatidylcholine or acetylcholine?
Well, it really depends on the way that you want the choline to be metabolized and crossed over. I always recommend alpha GPC because it works really well with rice tams, so including NuPep. So a common stack for just a general gamer would be adrafinilin to give them that focus, NuPep to provide the mental clarity, the response time that they need, alpha GPC to maximize NuPep's potential, and then one other synaptic booster that way that they can have kind of a more in-depth reach to the potential boost they're getting. So I like to always recommend something like phenyl piracetam, which is a really great strategic booster in terms of gaming. When you're playing an FPS like Call of Duty or Battlefield or something, and you're taking a supplement like phenyl piracetam, it allows you to visualize the map 3D better in your head, at least for me. And I always promote
that one's phenylparacetam when you're doing like mapping and stuff.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And that's different than using like NuPept and modafinil. You'd recommend phenylparacetam instead of something like NuPept, which would still be considered a racetam.
No, I'd recommend all four of those.
Oh, so NuPept, modafinil, phenylracetam, or what'd you call it?
Phenylparacetam?
Phenylparacetam, and then some type of choline, like alpha GPC.
Correct. And that would be a good well-rounded stack. And and you might be thinking, wow, four different chemicals, you know. Well, the thing is they're really safe. There's no drug interaction between the last three. The only one that could potentially have one would be adrafinilin. Like I said, with the liver issue, you wouldn't take this daily. That one you would take probably twice a week on if it's a gamer, on their training days, on their competition days. If it was, say, a college student or something like that, when they have a test, if they have a serious study session, you know, so you tailor it around what you're doing that day, what you need. And I have a whole personal wide range of different nootropics that what I'll do is if I have a grind coming up, you know, I'm going to take adrafinilin. And if I have, say, a time where I'm going to go out and spend some time with my family, then I might take phenylpropionate because it puts me in a good mood. So, you kind of tailor it.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Hey, I have a quick favor to ask of you as I'm working on the show notes for people, because I know that folks who are like riding their bike or running or something or gaming may not remember all this stuff. After our call, can you shoot me a few like sample stacks with things spelled correctly, just so I can make sure that if I put it in the show notes for people that they know the exact names of some of the stuff? Because the last thing I want is someone to get explosive diarrhea because they took a phosphine instead of a cida or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And okay. In fact, I have three stacks already that I like to kind of put out as intro stacks. I have a creativity one. I have a busy work stack to get through that grind. Okay.
Sweet. So send those over and I'll put the links. For those of you listening, I'm going to put the links to everything we talk about. I'll put a link to that movie Gamer, some of this other stuff over at bengreenfieldfitness.com/esports. bengreenfieldfitness.com/esports is the URL. Zach, what's the creativity one?
So the creativity stack is actually going to be mainly for people that are going to be trying to do music, going to be trying to do art kind of projects. But essentially what it is the basis of the stack is anti-ricetam. Anti-ricetam is a really big, and I hate to say it this way, but there's no real good way to put it in layman terms, but it affects the left side, the left hemisphere, the creativity part of your brain. And it's been disproven that there's two hemispheres and all that. But, you know, I just like to kind of put it that way in layman's terms. But so it's anti-ricetam, it's phenylpropionate because phenylpropionate is a mood stabilizer. It makes you feel really good, and part of creativity is being in a good mood. Then it uses pyrantrol instead of a alpha GPC, just because the way that pyrantrol works, it's almost like a B vitamin similar to it. So it gives you
a, what'd you call it? Pyrantrol?
Yeah, PYRITINOL.
Okay.
And then NuPEPT, because NuPEPT is going to allow you to have that focus and sustain the creativity instead of just, you know, petering out. And then finally, L-theanine, because that's going to give you a zen feeling. And that's pretty important because you need to be able to be in the moment. And so right. That's five different ones.
L-theanine helps with your alpha brainwave production as well, right?
Correct.
And it's one of those things you can combine with like coffee to decrease some of the jittery stimulant effect of coffee.
Correct. And that's very important when you're looking into doing anything that's creative, because if you're not in the right mood, so to speak, it's not going to flow.
Right. Okay. Got it. So you've got like this stack for hanging around the family, staying smart, using like a paracetam. You've got like the one that you recommend for gamers, like NuPEPT, the Draftnil, Alpha GPC, and phenylparacetam. What else in addition to like creativity and gaming?
Well, so one of the gaming stacks that I always give out, and this is, I have a gamer I sponsor, and what I give them is we've worked back and forth, and so he'll take pyrantrol. Now that's, I haven't mentioned that one yet. That one is, well, I'll put it to you this way: it's the most expensive one on my site, so it's a pretty good one, and it's not easy to get. And actually have a lot of problems getting it, so it's always out of stock. But I got some for him. He takes pyrantrol because pyrantrol is almost a stimulant in the sense of you're going to take it and you're working in long-term memory as well as your focus and motivation is going to skyrocket. And now you're thinking, why is working in long-term memory help with gaming? Because when you look at a map, say a mini map, and you're also walking through a forest, you're looking at the mini map to see where your guys are, where the enemy's at, and what's around you. But you have to quickly look back and see who's in front of you to shoot them. In that quick millisecond that you're looked into the corner, you need to be able to process the information, memorize that information, and recall it almost instantaneously without having to relook at it and take your eyes off the target. In order to do that, you have to have a short-term, a working, and a long-term memory all at 110%. So then Prime Rice Team also helps with the strategic thinking. Like I said, with the 3D processing, thinking I'm going to approach from the right, I'm going to come down, you know, I'll be on top of the enemy. So it's a huge, huge gaming one that I promote really to people that are looking, they're already at the top of their class and they're looking for that little bit extra. And then I stack that with Adrafinilin. I'll do Alcar for the Primarize TAM, Nupept, and then depending on the person, we'll go something else. So.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. Cool. And you're going to send all these again for me to put in the show notes for folks?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Do you do any blood testing to see if like your liver enzymes are going up or if something is potentially something you're doing too much of, like if it's damaging an organ or anything like that, or do you just pay attention to whether or not the right side of your body hurts?
Well, you know, I didn't think we were going to be getting to my medical records. If you want, I can fax them over to you. No, personally, I haven't taken any looks into my own effects of it, mainly because I really take it safe. Adrafinilin in my liver is something that I care a lot about. So I won't abuse it in any sense. I'll take it only when need be. And I always tell that to people, like I told it to you, you know, don't take this every day. Just, you know, you have to be responsible when you take any substance. And so I haven't really noticed any side effects from adrenaline at all for me. So I think it's because I play it safe. Although it does, you know, there's some people that just aren't smart about it. Or, yeah, you know, and for situations like that, it could be a real thing. Now, honestly,
what about like using like glutathione or N-acetylcysteine or any of these things that have been known to help cleanse the liver, even, you know, like blending cilantro and celery juice and all these type of things that can lower like aspartate aminotransferase or alanine aminotransferase or some of these elevated liver enzymes. Do you, you know, even some people recommend like after a big like marijuana bender to use 5-HTP, for example, or something like Onnit's Alpha Brain is another popular one for stuff like that. Like, what are your thoughts on that type of thing? I'm like mitigating the damage.
Well, there's always ways to do, I like to say, homeopathic cleanses. I don't necessarily mean it's homeopathic because there's a lot of things that actually do 5-HTP, like you're saying with marijuana, you know, things like that. Those are important, but it's not something that I take into account as a daily ritual or anything that's important. If I find that I'm in the need of a cleanse, then yeah, I'll do it. But it's not something that, you know, is really a big staple. Although I know a lot of people are into that, and I can't say that it would hurt. You know, it wouldn't hurt at all. It would be the most proactive thing. It'd be like taking a vitamin, working out every day. You know, it's just a good, healthy habit to
have. I did it. Like after you told me about how the adaptogenol affects the liver, I doubled up my glutathione and also N-acetylcysteine, just help my liver process some of that stuff. Like whenever I take a medicine or I've had a heavy night of drinking or, you know, have like marijuana or something like that in my system, I always do that just to help the liver along a little bit, not to justify like beating up your liver. But yeah, if you can dump like antioxidants, if you can dump binders like chlorella and charcoal, and then you can dump like sulfur-based cleaners or antioxidants like glutathione or N-acetylcysteine in, I think that's just like smart body management. I'm hoping some gamers
are picking up on some of that stuff. How did that work for you? Did you find that it mitigated it to?
Yeah, I test my liver. I also take something called rock lotus extract. It's in this stuff called MPX-100. And it's like it's a compound that's a mix of bittermelon extract and rock lotus extract. So it's kind of like the diabetic drug metformin when it comes to decreasing your blood sugar. And then the Rock Lotus is like a liver cleanse. I test my liver enzymes 4 times a year, and they're always just like rock bottom as far as health goes. Occasionally, if I've exercised really, really hard, like the day before, that'll elevate your liver enzymes. But otherwise, yeah, so far, you know, knock on wood, it seems to be keeping me pretty clean, even though I do occasionally do some, you know, some of the stuff that we're talking about when it comes to smart drugs. So it's a, you it's gotta, hopefully working well.
You got to send me some info on that. Yeah. Now I'll put, bar nights where I just milked the hangover and didn't do anything.
I'll make you a deal. If you send over your best stacks that you recommend to me to embed in the show notes for listeners, I'll also put in the show notes for those of you listening in, kind of like my liver cleansing stack of choice that has worked pretty well for me just based on my blood testing with Wellness FX. Zach, anything else that you wanted to go over today when it comes to electronic sports health, fitness, smart drugs, anything like that, stuff you still want to get out there?
You know, it's a huge industry. It's growing. It's estimated to grow over 500 million per a year within the next 2 years. So it's an insane industry. And something that I really want people to realize is that it needs to take off, because once it already is, it's on ESPN. They're taking the Staples Center, and you know, so it's taken off, but it really needs to take off because like I said earlier, this is the beginning of the future. This esports industry is going to set the standard for the next 20 and 30 years as sports develop. And think about it. What happens when the new product in 5 years from Google, which is some 3D technology or some virtual reality technology, comes out and they're sponsored with a huge industry like the NFL for gaming? And now we have virtual reality gaming. Maybe imagine a stadium where instead of a football field, it's a hologram, and that is a Call of Duty field or something, and you can watch people throwing grenades and rockets and helicopters, and it's right there and it's live. Imagine instead of going to the movies, you can go to a stadium and watch something like that. Just some in crazy fantasy. Like, I just feel like it's the future, you know? When you go to the movies and people get all bent up on Star Wars and things like Avatar and all this sci-fi, this is going to be the next thing that people will be bent up on. So it needs to grow and it needs to take off. And so for the people out there, I always say, do it. Get a team going together. Start competing, make some money. You can make some serious money, make some money and help build the industry, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, like, you know, I wanted to get on with you, Zach, not because I personally have too keen of an interest in gaming. Cause frankly, even though I love like the whole like Oculus Rift stuff. And like, I like, you know, when I go to my mom's house, she's got a Wii and I'll play like Nintendo Wii Dance. Like I like the physical stuff. And I still, for the reasons I highlighted earlier, kind of avoid it for both my kids and I, just because, you know, dude, I live out in the forest, right? Like I can go like slacklining and climb trees, and my kids and I can whip out the paintball guns and the bows and just like go to battle out in the forest. And for me, I get a bigger kick out of that. But I know there's a lot of people that freaking love online gaming, and you know, some of these stacks, some of these personal care type of protocols, I think they're relevant to those folks. One other thing, Zach, you ever use like gaming glasses, right? Like blue light blocking, glare reducing glasses?
No, because I'm not that big of a gamer. You're not going to find me spend 8 hours in front of a Xbox.
That's something like I used to have tons of eye strain from my time at a computer, and not just at night, but even during the day. A lot of the time I'll use, like Gunnar is one brand. There's another brand called, Swanee's. There's one company just sent me a pair. They're like aviator style blue light blockers. I'm trying to remember the name of the company. Anyways, I'll put it in the show notes. If a carbon shade, isn't it? I think they're like on Indiegogo or something like that right now, but those help a ton too with like eye strain and reducing like a lot of the blue light that shuts down melatonin and stuff like that. So that's another little one in addition to like the liver cleanse stuff I talked about. If you're taking antioxidants or if you're taking smart drugs.
Yeah. And you know, those are really good points. That's what I'm talking about when I say, get into the industry, starting a business where you're like, there is one of the companies I'm working with that does blue light blocking glasses, no scope. They start up, they get into the industry, and they're starting something that's going to change the industry itself. And so it's important. And like you were saying, how you live in the forest.
What do you mean they're starting something that's going to change the industry?
Well, think about it. When you start a business for an industry, you're changing that field, whether it be by affecting a competitor or whether it be by giving a quality product that sets a new standard. If I don't want to say any names, but if you look at a sponsor of one of the teams before I sponsored them, it was a product that helped with cognitive benefits. But essentially it was just a vapor. And it was nothing more than a vapor. And that's all I really want to say, because I don't want to get too much into it. But so, and I feel like by me replacing them as a sponsor is because I have a better, more effective, safer product, and that's setting a standard. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So eventually, if say Google gets into it and they pull out some Oculus Rift type headset or some stadium hologram, like I was talking about way in the future, that's going to be the new standard and it's going to progress. And that's the whole point. I just want to see a futuristic progression through America that's going to help grow. And that's why I think that esports is so interesting and lucrative, because it's something that we've never seen before. And it's great. And what you were saying about living in the forest with your kids, I think that's an important aspect too. Is you don't want to be doing this for your, 18 hours a day and make it an extreme. But I feel like it's a great passion or career for the people that can do it right. And I don't think anyone should be pushed on it. I don't think kids should be trained on League of Legends from 5 years till they're 18,
Yeah. I hear you. But I do like Nintendo Wii Dance, like I said, which I'm sure every single serious gamer listening in just totally lost all respect for me, especially because I've never played League of Legends, and shocker, I've never even played Halo. I know.
Even I played Halo, man.
Yeah, but I could probably kick your butt in either paintball or laser tag. Guaranteed. So anyways, after throwing down that gauntlet, Zach, I'm going to bring this episode to a close, but for those of you listening in, go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/esports. I'll link to Zach's site. I'll link to his stacks. I'm even going to give you a 10% discount code right there in the show notes for any of the stuff that Zach just talked about, in case you want to proceed at your own risk and within the bounds of legality and try out any of the stuff that Zach just talked about. So, and if you have questions, you can leave them in the comment section and either Zach or I will reply. We're pretty good at responding to comments and stuff like that come through on podcasts. So that being said, Zach, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thank you, Ben. I appreciate it. It was a great honor. I hope you have a great one, man.
All right, folks, this is Ben Greenfield and Zach signing out from bengreenfieldfitness.com.
You've been listening to the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com for even more cutting-edge fitness and performance advice.